The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to walk out your faith in every place you live and work. You'll be introduced to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry, giving you the tools needed to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is brought to you by the Central Florida Christian Chamber. Now, here's your host, Mike Gillen.
Hey, friends, and welcome to The Shepherd at Work, heard every week at this time here on the Shepherd Radio Network. So happy to have you along. My name is Mike Gillen, and I've got with me today a guest that was on my program, Afternoons with Mike, that's heard daily. Andrew Krapuschets is coming to the upcoming expo. And he is a leader. He is the founder of several businesses, including the sponsor for the expo, which is called Red Balloon. I had a great time to talk with him. Wanted to share that with you today. Andrew Krapuschets is a longtime business leader. He's an entrepreneur. He's an innovator. And this guy has a resume that is as long as you can believe. It's really great. He got a start out in Silicon Valley, and that's not a bad place to get into the tech business. If you're going to do it, that's a great place to go. He founded in 2021 a company called Red Balloon, and they are America's largest connector of both employers and employees who prioritize a positive work culture. Now, this part that I'm about to say kind of really says it for Andrew. A culture that is free from the divisiveness of the cancel culture mandates that so many businesses and all the rest of us hear about all the time. Andrew, it is so great to have you on my program.
Thanks so much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here. And hello, everybody. I hope everyone's having a wonderful afternoon.
So you're a Californian who has made his way to Idaho, and you're right in the middle of the cold winter.
I've been up here for 20 years. So I started in the Bay Area. I kind of got to do the dot-com thing. Very blessed to work with some just wonderful businesses down there. Got to see everything from businesses that were profitable and kind of growing in that space to businesses that took on huge amounts of venture capital money and really changed their business, changed their mindset, I think for the worse. And when I got to see those things firsthand, it really gives you an MBA in business, because you see what the results of kind of changing the culture when you're in the Bay Area. So started down there at the ripe old age of 22. I got kind of burned out on traffic and liberals. And so I moved out of San Francisco and moved up to Idaho. And I've been up here for over 20 years now and just simply love it. I live on 60 acres. 10 minutes from the office. I've got 5 kids. My wife teaches at a Christian school. We've got 3 big dogs, and it's the good life.
You know, it is so refreshing to hear the story of somebody who is a believer and somebody who is not only a believer, but a parent of 5 kids. I mean, even that stat right there is kind of rare in today's day. But here you are in California, and those things, those are like opposite ends of the spectrum as to what a lot of people think of. When we hear stuff coming out of California now, this must really drive you crazy from the standpoint of having lived there, having worked there in your early career, and then kind of feeling the pressure, like you said, from the liberal impact that that area brings. It's really nuts what's going on out there right now, right?
It absolutely is. I have a lot of friends there. In fact, I have, because I was blessed to, and we'll get into this maybe, I've sold businesses 6 times now. So I've had 6 successful business exits. Over the years, I know a lot of people in private equity and venture capital down in the Bay Area. I've got some deep connections. And one of my very good friends who lives in San Francisco, I was, you know, just talking about Idaho and that I could see 100 miles from my front porch. And he's like, that's really cool. I can see 100 homeless people from my front porch.
That's like, right. Yeah, no, I think a lot of people really who walk down there, they can say, I can see 100 hypodermic needles on the ground from where I'm standing.
Right. There's 100 of a lot of bad things that you can easily see in San Francisco. And it's sad because, right, you have, it's a beautiful state. It is a beautiful place to have grown up. We loved going over to Santa Cruz. We had friends in Santa Barbara. The whole area, you know, you go up to Lake Tahoe, you go skiing up there, you go water skiing, even Lake Tahoe, which those who have done that know that it's very, very cold, but beautiful. All these things are beautiful about California, but unfortunately, the one downside is the politics and just the mindset that has been fostered by whether it's universities or kind of this liberal mindset that really is hurting the state. And I know a lot of friends and families, farmers down in California, they're just struggling to make ends meet because of the taxes, the regulation, and everything else that kind of comes along with being in the middle of California today.
I don't think it's really wrong to say this because I don't know the exact percentage, but wouldn't it be, from a standpoint of most other places in the country, in the flyover states or places like where you are there in Idaho, it seems like it would cost at least 30-40% more in terms of how much your annual income needs to be just to kind of stay on even par. And that 30-40% more is basically, like you said, taxes and higher costs because of more rigid restrictions on things like emissions from cars. All of that goes in. It's about that much more, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Sales tax, everything, every aspect of life in California, and because houses are very expensive. And it's not just because the land's expensive. It's because when you have regulations or Department of Environmental Quality who is breathing down the neck of home builders, then everything is going to start just costing more. In fact, one of the things that Red Balloon does, and we do this in conjunction with Public Square, is we do a survey. It's a monthly survey called the Freedom Economy Index, where we survey over 80,000 businesses that are all part of this kind of conservative freedom economy and ask them a variety of questions. And one of the questions we've asked is, are you happy with the state that you're currently doing business in? And have you thought about moving? Have you thought about areas where you would want to move to? And so over 50% of the businesses that we hear from say, no, I'm perfectly happy with the state I'm in. If you filter it for only red states, you know, we'll think of Texas or Florida or Idaho where I live, it's something like 70% of the businesses are perfectly happy with where they are. They're not even thinking about moving or not planning on moving. Unfortunately, if you focus on California, only 13% of the respondents in California said that they are happy with where they are today.
Yeah.
The other over 80%, over 85% are thinking about a move, are planning on a move, or would like to move. They simply can't afford to right now, but as soon as they can, they're going to. I talked to one large employer in California who is a multi-billion dollar business, and they say every year they run the math on how much does it pencil for us to leave the state of California. And they said, and every year it gets closer and closer to making sense financially to leave the state. And that's very sad because that is going to cost jobs. That's going to cost opportunities for people in California. And when you drive out states, when you drive out people who are bringing economic prosperity to your area, it is just bad for the citizens, which is always sad because I've got a lot of friends down there. And I wish that wasn't the case, but unfortunately it is.
You know, there's another question about this that I think every one of us in our area, Florida is one of those areas, Andrew, as you know, that a lot of Californians have aimed at. They may stop in Texas. I know a lot of them are stopping in other states along the way, and they're moving there. But we get a good fair amount of people from both New York and California moving down to Florida. The one thing that I've never understood is that with all of this going on, all of these people, like you said, 80% or so, just to round things over, unhappy and wanting to move out, what in the world is going on with the governor and the other leaders of that state? Why do they think that this can kind of consist this way? It's not sustainable, right?
Well, it's not sustainable, but I do think that they live in a bit of a bubble, and they're such ideologues that they are so focused on their worldview, how they're thinking about the world, that they can't see the perspective from other people. And I think, you know, I think that's one of the things we've lost in America. It used to be that, you know, I don't need everybody to think the way that I do. I'm a conservative Christian unapologetically, but I don't need everyone to lockstep with the way that I see the world, but I would love to be able to have a conversation, and I need to be able to see things from other people's point of view. And I think, unfortunately, what we've seen in California is the leadership, whether it's the elected officials or even some of the, you know, big businesses that are pushing on those elected officials, what we're seeing from them is they are unwilling to see the point of view of someone else, and they are very, very insular. There was a recent video from the fine governor of California where he was in a grocery store with his daughter, I think, or something. He was in a grocery store and someone was basically walking out with $900 worth of stuff. And the clerk was like, yeah, that just happens all the time. He's like, well, why don't you do something about it? And the clerk is like, well, because the governor basically won't enforce anything. So it's not worth fighting. And we're probably going to close our store soon. And he was making light of this, of like, oh, well, we have strict laws and that's ridiculous. But it didn't even occur to him that a lot of the laws that he's passed are having such a dramatic and disproportionate impact on these small businesses that simply can't afford to have that level of crime happen in their state and to their business. And so that's one of the things I just think they live in a bubble and they don't actually know what's going on in the real world sometimes.
And yet he had, you know, this big vote that went up for the people of California to recall him as governor. And the people voted him in. And that's the part that always is a head scratcher to me, when they had that opportunity to kind of change the direction for the state, they didn't do it.
That's right. That's right. And we've seen that over and over again. And so, unfortunately, you know, sometimes you are so focused on what you're going to get. And all of us struggle with this, right? You're so focused on what you think you can get out of the situation that you're not thinking about anyone else. You're not thinking about the state. You're thinking, well, I want to continue to get subsidies, or I want to continue to get handouts from the government. And even if it costs my neighbor the opportunity to thrive and be successful, that's what I want. And unfortunately, selfishness really has impact, and we get to see it firsthand.
My guest today on The Shepherd at Work is Andrew Krapuschets. I'll be back with Andrew in a moment. This is The Shepherd at Work.
Would you like to increase your business's exposure in the Christian community and build your business with greater kingdom purpose? If so, then the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is the solution for you. Hi, this is Co-President Latondra Heaven. The Christian Chamber is more than just another business organization. It's a regional community of business professionals passionate about advancing the kingdom of God through the marketplace in Central Florida. As a member, get access to exclusive values-based networking events, Christ-centered professional development, marketing opportunities, and consistent prayer support for you and your business. Plus, gain access to the National U.S. Christian Chamber Coalition. Become a member today. Visit our website, cfchristianchamber.com, or call us at 407-431-0732. That's 407-431-0732. 431-0732.
Once again, here is Mike Gillen.
My guest today is Andrew Krapuschets from Red Balloon. Let's get back into that talk. To have the business savvy to be able to carry on one successful business after another, what do you attribute that to?
Well, obviously, I believe that all creativity comes from the Lord. And you know, if you look back to when we were all kindergartners, and I think back to those days, all of us wanted to draw things, whether it was kindergarten. I mean, with crayons in kindergarten, we wanted to create something. And I think what that is we serve the creator of the universe, and we, as many creators, are eager to create things. And as a Christian, we have the best why, right? If you read Simon Sinek's book on Start With Why, we have the best why to start a business to really, truly bless people, because we understand who the creator of the universe is. We also understand that we are put here to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so if you put those two things together, you have a great opportunity to start businesses. And so when I moved up to Idaho, and I'd worked for a number of these dot-coms and really been blessed to work with great people, but I hadn't started a business. When I moved up here to Idaho at the ripe old age of 22, I kind of looked around and realized there weren't any good jobs in this nice little town that I had just moved to. I had a great church community. There was a great academic community because the University of Idaho is here. New St. Andrews College is here. But there wasn't a good business community. There weren't great job opportunities. And I realized that for people to have a great job, it really is more than just a 9-to-5 hobby. And think about it like this. When you introduce yourself to someone new and you ask them, what do you do? You're asking them what their job is. But that question betrays that a job is not just a 9-to-5 hobby, as I said. It's actually a calling. It's a vocation. It is a defining feature of a person's life. People define themselves. I'm a software developer. I'm a plumber. I'm a CEO. And so I wanted to create jobs that would allow people and Christians to be able to have prosperous lives. And so when I started the first business here in Moscow, Idaho, as a side note, this is not a great business goal, but it was my business goal, is I wanted 50 people earning over $50,000 a year in Moscow, Idaho, in my little town. So 50 at 50 was my initial goal. And you think about what that vision and that goal is. That is a goal outside of making the most money for myself or trying to, you know, be personally prosperous. And look, I'm still a capitalist. I'm not opposed to making money. But my fundamental driving goal was, how do I drive prosperity and great jobs for other people? And the Lord blesses that kind of thing. When you are trying to bless others, God built the world in such a way that that blessing will come back around on your own head. And so I think that's probably what I attribute it to. When you can get outside of yourself, when you can say, what's the problem that other people have at scale, whether it's they need jobs, whether it's one of the businesses I started was a software business around 3D printing, and it was a really fascinating thing. And it's like, well, this is clearly a problem that a lot of businesses have, and so what if I solve it? And if I solve it, then I'm going to be able to make money in the meantime. So if you're simply trying to bless other people with technology, with tools, with widgets, with plumbing, whatever it is, when you're trying to bless others, that's where the innovation comes from. When you're trying to just figure out what's the thing that's going to make me the most money, there's a very high probability you're going to fail at business. And so I think that's just an example of how God built the world. And so when I look at all the businesses that I've been blessed to start, whenever I had a mindset of how can I bless other people, my business did well. Whenever I had a mindset of, okay, I think I can make some money because this is an interesting market niche, I struggled a little bit more, partly because I wasn't as excited about it. I wasn't as engaged in it. And partly God built us in such a way that we should bless others. And when we do, he's going to turn around and bless us.
When you began that 50-50 idea, now I would imagine that in Idaho, $50,000 was indeed a very good salary, right?
That's right. And this is 20 years ago. So, inflation has done things to a $50,000 a year salary. But 20 years ago in Idaho, $50,000 was enough that you could not only live, but you could actually go out and, you know, have dinner on occasion and have a little bit more of a prosperous life. I don't think $50,000 goes as far as it used to, but it really was a goal that was, how do we bring prosperity to my town? And how do I do it by dying to self and creating jobs for other people?
You know, that is so admirable. That kind of person that would live in that kind of a selfless atmosphere, because you exude that.
All the glory goes to God. And the way that God built the world is by the grace of God. I made millions of dollars by living that out, right? My goal was not to make millions of dollars. My goal was to bless people. But then I got blessed exponentially because that was my mindset. So, if everyone's out there thinking, well, and then I'm going to, be eating ramen and baked potatoes the rest of my life. No, we can still be capitalists, but have a mindset that's focused on blessing others. And you can actually be very prosperous in the middle of that. So, I don't take credit for this. This is just what God has given me. As we get into why I started Red Balloon, it really ended up being the major driver for what I'm trying to do here.
That's so great. Now, tell us about the idea behind the name Red Balloon. I personally think that is one cool name, and it would certainly lends itself wonderfully to marketing. But where did you come up with that one? What was behind all of that?
Yeah, well, I think we have to go back just a little bit more. So one of the businesses I was running that I'd helped start, I'd built to about a $50 million tech business, had hundreds of employees. I really loved my work. I loved the opportunity to bless customers. We had, in fact, kind of three anchors that we talked about at the business all the time: bless the customer, bless the employee, and bless the shareholder, in that order. So it starts with making sure the customer was better off because they interacted with us, that the employee was better off because they worked there, and then the shareholder would do well as long as the customer and the employee were perked first. And I sold the business a number of times, which was fun. Unfortunately, every time you sell a business, you lose some control. And when 2020 came around, the board decided that I was too conservative and Christian for their liking, and I found myself delightfully unemployed, kicked out of my own business that I had started. And we were growing 25% a year with a 40% margin. So it was a wildly successful business. And they decided that I just didn't have the right social media profile for that business. And I'll be honest, this was a, you know, yay, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, it was a hard time because I loved the work that I was doing. I really had a lot of my identity tied up in that, which I didn't realize until I lost it. And I realized I needed to have more of my identity in Christ. But it was a difficult time. And my wife did an amazing job of having my back through that whole period. In fact, she wrote an article in the Federalist and she said, you know, my husband wasn't fired. He was redeployed. And he was redeployed. And if the king tells you to go take that hill over there, who are you to say no? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, honey, that's exactly what I need to hear. So
what a gift.
Yeah, it was amazing. And so that's where Red Balloon came from. I basically was given a choice between my job and my values. And I was fortunate enough to choose my values and lose my job. But I knew that there was going to be a lot of Americans who were going to be in that same boat. And if you think about balloons, a balloon is a way to transport people. And if you've ever been on a hot air balloon, it's kind of this floating sensation. You don't have a lot of control. But you're going somewhere. And I think that's what the job search process looks like. And people are moving to red states or red businesses or red parts of blue states, and they're looking for freedom. There's also this really cool story of a family that escaped from East Germany using a hot air balloon. And brought, you know, this is a dad who built a hot air balloon and took his family to safely over the Berlin Wall. It was a really cool story. So all of those things kind of came together to create Red Balloon, create the branding around it. And how do we help people travel to freedom? How do we bring them to a spot where they can be free at work? Because being free at work has a disproportionate impact on your ability to think clearly and be free in other areas of your life.
Oh,
that's played
sounds...
out amazingly, where I have received hundreds of thank you notes from perfect strangers saying, you know, I found a new job through redballoon.work. You've changed the trajectory of my family. You've saved my marriage. We're going to church again. There's so many amazing stories that I've been able to be just part of because we help bring job seekers and employers together who value freedom, who value what made America great in the first place.
Wow. That is so great. That is a wonderful story. And it sounds like you yourself have indeed, you've been on a hot air balloon before, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
And actually, yeah, if you've ever, I don't know, Mike, have you been on a hot air balloon before?
No, I have not. I've always been interested in them, but I've never done it.
Okay. So I've only been on one once, and we were in England. We were actually in Dartmoor, England, which is kind of out on the moors, kind of where, you know, some of the Sherlock Holmes places, you know, books were written. And we're up in the balloon, and you can't control them, right? The only way that you can control where you're going is you go up or down and try and find wind that's going the right direction.
Wow.
For you to go where you want to go. I mean, that's basically how you control it. It's also perfectly silent up there.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going with the wind, right?
Yeah.
There's no wind noise because you're with the wind. You're just kind of, you're with whatever way the wind is going. So it's very quiet. You don't have a ton of control. It feels like looking for a job. But the funny part is the landing. So this guy who was the pilot for the balloon, and I guess the guy who runs the balloon is a pilot, the guy who was the pilot for our balloon actually flew for British Airways or British Airlines. And so he's like, okay, so we're going to land over in that field in about 20 seconds. And I had three of my kids with me. He's like, and just so you know, you're the seatbelt for all three of your kids. So what you want to do is pin them all against the side of the basket and hold on for dear life. I'm like, yeah. What? Like, could I have had a little more warning on this? Anyway, so it was exciting. And that's a little bit of the inspiration for Red Balloon.
And there you have it, Andrew Krapuschets. He's going to be at the Expo coming up on April 18th. That's just around the corner. That's all of our time today. Thank you for being here. If you'd like information on the big Expo that's coming up, go to uschristianchamber.com. I'll see you next time right here on The Shepherd at Work.
You've been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week for a chat with another marketplace leader who will help you learn how to live your faith in every place you live and work. The Shepherd at Work has been brought to you by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.